So thank you all for coming. And I just explain a little bit about, before we get into the discussion tonight, I'll explain a little bit about what it is that I do. I work for the province of Newfoundland and Labrador as the Intangible Cultural Heritage Development Officer. And that means that I do a lot of work with communities, finding out about their stories and their traditions, their crafts, ways of doing things, ways of knowing things, and helping communities try to preserve those things that are intangible. And we're surrounded tonight by tangible things. Art is something that we can look at, but there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of skill, and there's stories behind all the pieces that are here. And sometimes those things are fragile. If we don't talk about those things, if we don't celebrate those intangible things, they are in danger of being lost. So we're here tonight to kind of talk about the exhibit here and talk about art and music and that sort of thing. So I guess just to start off, I kind of wanted to just get the two of you to talk a little bit about yourselves, if I could. Just your background as an artist. Where did you start as an artist? Carolyn, you started in graphic art. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I've always drawn and always been involved in art in one way, shape, or form ever since I was a kid. My professional background is with graphic design. I've done that for about 15 years, so that's my specialty. I did signs for 10 years, and I work at the Craft Council. I've been here for 10 years, and I do all our brochures and posters and all that sort of stuff. So I'm pretty lucky that way. I get to express myself through my work as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pam, what about yourself? How did you start off as an artist?
Not by choice, actually. It was Kara, who has always been interested in art, and from the time she was a small child, dabbled in one thing or another. And about 5 or 6 years ago, she came to me with a piece of wood and said, "Can you do something with this? I want a boat." So I spent about 2 days making a little tiny piece of wood into a boat that was satisfactory. And just from there, got a little quicker and started to be able to do it in an efficient manner, so
yeah.
I came to really enjoy it.
And so the two of you have a company, Kara's Joy.
Yes.
And when did that start?
About 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you start off with the company? What sort of stuff were you doing to start off?
Kara had been doing a lot of painting, and then she started painting on wood. And then she wanted to layer things. So as that progressed, then she wanted the layers to have, more shape and dimension. So that's when she started having me carve it and give it a little more movement, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did you start off doing printmaking?
Printmaking, I was a watercolorist, I guess, was my sort of specialty. And a few years ago, I wanted to get into printmaking, and Tara Bryan actually let me use her press out there. So I got to go and play out on the press, and a friend of mine, Marty, as well, got into printmaking, and so I got more interested in it, and Anita Singh actually helped me. I went over to her house for an afternoon, and I've been doing it ever since. It was the carving, too. Our art, all three of our art is carving based, and I love the whole act of it, carving and printing. And I've been down at St. Michael's for the summer doing it, and it's a great medium.
So when you start off with a solid object, how do you know what it's going to become before you start to carve it out?
Oh.
Or do you know what it's going to become?
I don't know. Kara has an idea of what she wants it to become, and she tries to convey that to me as I go. When she hands me the block that has a pencil drawing on the face of it, I every time still look at it and say, "That's not possible. I don't know how I'm going to do this with a block of wood." So as I work on it, I get down, I guess, closer to what she wants, and then she'll come and fine-tune and say, "We'll take off a bit here, take off a bit there." And because she sees it before it's finished, and I, of course, never see it until she's finished it and painted it. And so,
yeah, I think mine's more exact. My art is, it's very, I draw it out, and I trace it onto the block. So I have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like before I print it. The wonderful thing about it is carving adds a whole other thing that I don't get with just drawing or just with painting. It's got rough edges, and it's got it has its own personality. So it's nice. The trick with mine is you have to think backwards and in reverse. So what you carve out is the white, and then it all gets reversed. So like in the one piece back there, there's a lot of copy in it. I had to have that all carved out backwards. Otherwise, it would be backwards when I printed it. So that's the only trick to what I do.
So did it take a while for you to kind of train your brain to think that way, or was it something that came naturally?
I think backwards anyway. I think it comes pretty natural. It's not a big leap for me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this show, Come All Ye Second Verse, is the second show that you've worked on collaboratively,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
How did the first show evolve? How did that start?
You guys.
I think we had a show, and
I had a show in the annex.
Yes.
And
I think we had a show out here.
Yeah.
Or we were at the opening maybe for your show.
Yes, that's right.
You and Kara had started talking, and Kara had said to me anyways that she'd love to do a show with Caroline, and then I guess between the two of you.
Yeah, came up with music. Yeah. I had done five musicians in that
right.
show, and I think that's right. where the idea came up with. So.
Yes, and then it went from
it's back. Kara's fault.
Totally.
Yeah, it's all
she's
Kara's
not, she's
fault.
Not here.
Yeah,
no.
She's just
I
not
know.
Here. Yeah.
It's all her fault anyways.
Yeah.
So the first show and this show kind of revolve around music
yes.
in one
yes.
sense. Now, you're a musician.
Yes.
What kind of music are you involved with?
I play mandolin and guitar. So I play a lot of different things, but one of my favorite things to do is Tuesday night we have a session up at Georgetown that I go to fairly regularly, and it's all traditional Newfoundland tunes. And one of the things that I'm not from this province originally, but one of the things that I looked forward to when we moved here was the folk music. And so I've always been very keen on folk music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed looking around the gallery that a lot of your pieces here are based on specific songs.
Yes, yeah.
How did you pick which songs you wanted to work with?
Well, the first time I picked all the tunes, but for this show, I wanted to. For me, music is about community. It's more than just playing songs. For me, it's a social network that I think culture today is losing a lot. The more technology-based we are, music, you can't really do that. You still have to sit around a table and talk to people and interact with people. And so for me, it's always been a social outlet. And to really emphasize that, I asked people this time around what their favorite songs were. And I just really wanted to emphasize that sense of community with it. So
yeah.
They picked them for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were they all songs that you knew for the most part?
Yes. Yeah. There were a few songs that people requested that I didn't know. Charming Blue Eyed Mary, I was introduced to Dorman Ralph through that song through somebody. So it was great. It was a learning experience too. Yeah.
Mm. And where did the musical inspiration for the pieces that you worked on come from?
Both of us have a few Newfoundland traditional songs that we're very fond of. So, of course, we tended to lean towards those. Kara actually is not from Newfoundland, and she grew up in Ontario, and there are a few songs that were traditional Newfoundland folk songs that she grew up singing. And at the time, she didn't realize that the words were actually really words. She thought it was just gibberish. Eyes the Bye, for example. And she didn't understand that those words meant something. And she grew up singing it, but never having a clue that those were actual words. And even the place names, Fogo Twillingate, Morton's Harbour, she thought that was just one big blurred, you know.
Deedledee.
Yeah, twiddledee. And she thought it was really funny when she understood that that was the actual song with lyrics that meant something. So we both have had, you know, large influence, I guess, over time with music in our lives, and Newfoundland music were both particularly fond of. So it wasn't hard to pick a few of her favorites or some that, you know, had some personal meaning.
I loved the maggoty fish.
Right.
Can you describe those pieces?
The fish specifically?
Yeah. I don't know if everyone's had a chance to see the maggoty fish yet, but they're
right. Well, Kara says that she did those because she hates maggots, and she thought that by doing that it would be somehow therapeutic. the first time around, we did them for the first show we did on music. We did an installation of fish with maggots, and I guess she got over her disdain.
As far as maggots go, they're pretty adorable.
Yeah. So she thought it would be a fun way to do the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, more from the artistic perspective, is the use of color. I mean, that's, when you walk into this room, that's, I think, one of the first things that strike you is that it's that there is a very bold use of color, very bright colors. Why is that? What is it about that that attracts you to it?
I don't know. I think, actually, interestingly enough, that's one of the things that I think really ties all of our work together is our use of color, and I think it was probably one of the things that gave Kara the idea for us to do a show mm-hmm. together in the first place, is that it would all kind of gel. And when we've actually done work, we have to admit this now, this is confession time, but we actually didn't see any of our work together until we put up the show. Mm-hmm. And so it could have all not worked at all, but just because we have the same mm-hmm. sensibilities about it, it just blend. And it was the same with the last show, too.
Yeah.
You know, it comes together. I think for me, color is just an expression, you know, I can't really describe why or how. It's just an expression. It's got to be bright, too, as bright as I can get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I'm the wrong person sitting here for this question because Kara does all the painting. But I do know that this is what she sees when she looks around in Newfoundland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I left here and it was a gray, bleak, dismal place. And Kara came here and saw all this color. And that's her inspiration.
Yeah.
So that's where our color comes from.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about community earlier. You moved from St. John's. You took the company out of town.
Yes.
And how has that been for, in terms of your sort of artistic development or what you see around you?
I think it's actually been good for Kara. She loves the more rural scenery and laundry lines. And that is, I mean, to be had here, but I guess not to the same degree as outside of the city, and being near the water, she sees a lot of marine life that she wouldn't see in town, so I like it because I get to go out in the woods and cut trees and play a little more than if I was in town.
Yeah.
So I think it works really well for us both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you feel that your art is more urban or rural? Or?
Oh, I'm definitely urban, yeah. I like I like St. John's. I love this St. John's city and the community, and it's like a big little town.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, everybody. I live downtown. I work downtown. We've been here for years. You walk down the street, and I usually bump into somebody. So that's that. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very, very people oriented that way.
One of the pieces that was used for publicity for the show was the St. John's Waltz.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that piece in particular? Are they real people in the? Are people going to see themselves in that?
They may see themselves that in that one. I have used people that I know in some of them. We know a lot of people who are dancers as well. That one, and it was a loose translation of portraits. Let's put it that way. I didn't out and out, you know.
You're not going to name names.
No, I'm not going to name names. I don't want to offend anybody. But, that to me is really St. John's in a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it is, it's a community, and it's a dance. It's a movement. Everybody knows each other, and people work around each other.
Yeah, and the streetscape in the background, which is kind of whimsical, but really evocative of that downtown kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. And, of course, Signal Hill, and I work here, so I look out at Signal Hill every day, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is, I think, one of the other things that kind of flows through the art that's here is a certain sense of whimsy. You know, like there's a very good humor, I think, in a lot of the art here. Like there's a sense of humor to what's here. Is that a conscious choice, or are you just happy people?
No.
You got Kara here.
Well, we enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think the whimsy is not a conscious choice, but you know, every now and then, if Kara's doing a piece, she'll want to add a little twist that gives it, you know, either play on words or something a little over the top, just to, I don't know, she had to have a little more fun with it.
I thought that these shelving pieces were very cute. The
shellfish.
The shelf-ish.
Yes.
Yeah. But they were great. Yeah. And I love the mummering pieces as well. And I just wondered about how that sort of traditional culture, how you find that traditional culture kind of influencing your work in some way.
Yeah. Well, Kara's fascinated by the Kara should be sitting here because she decides what we're going to do. And the ideas are, I can take no credit for creativity. But she's fascinated with the idea of mummering, not having grown up in Newfoundland. I mean, the first time she heard tell of it, she thought it was the most ridiculous thing she'd ever heard of. And now she thinks it's the most brilliant thing she's ever heard of and thinks it should be mandatory. So she's a hardcore mummer fan.
Yeah, that's great. So what is next? Will there be a third verse, do you think?
I don't know. I think you guys are thinking about doing reflections.
Someday.
In the mirrors, I don't know if any of you noticed, but the mirrors are double. So you get kind of two pieces of art in one.
Right.
And I know Kara was talking about...
She enjoys doing those.
Doing reflections. And I'm thinking about getting more into like wood engravings. And I've ordered my tools. So I'll be at St. Michael's this year. And again, this is this community thing and the sharing of knowledge. And just being down there, I met the resident artist down there. And she got me into wood engraving. So... be experimenting with that, and we'll see what happens.
You never know.
Great. Well, thank you both very much. People are certainly invited to stay and mingle, and I'm sure if you have questions, you can ask. We have been recording this session, so this is going to be a podcast as part of the Intangible Cultural Heritage podcast, and so we'll send a link, and I guess you can put a link on the Craft Council website, so you can share this with your friends. So I'd like you all, if you would, to just give a thank you to our two artists here tonight.